Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are talking Titans, taking your thoughts, and discussing the quarterback position for the Tennessee Titans. Will Rand Carthon decide to run it back with Ryan Tannehill? Could the Titans go make a move at quarterback this offseason? And then there's the draft part of it as well. And, Joe, I've known, you know, ever since the Titans season ended, there was a lot to figure out, obviously. You had to go get a GM. They still have to go get an offensive coordinator. There's a lot that we had to talk about. But I know and still know, or I knew and still know, that a lot of what we're going to talk about with the Titans this offseason, leading up to March and free agency and into the draft, is quarterback. What do you do with Ryan Tannehill? What happens? At what point do you determine that you need to go find your quarterback of the future? And I thought a lot about what I would do and kind of what my thought process is on the Titans and the quarterback position heading into this offseason. And I can see it from both sides. Like, I could see bringing back Ryan Tannehill for one more run and trying to keep the team together, add to it, and hoping that works out and that you're back in the playoffs, you're back competing for a division title again, the AFC South, and that maybe you can hang in there with your defense and compete against some of these other quarterbacks in the AFC. And then over the weekend, I'm watching Joe Burrow do his thing. I'm watching Patrick Mahomes do his thing. You know, Josh Allen to a much lesser degree. But you're looking around the AFC, Trevor Lawrence in the AFC South, Houston's in a position right now where they could go draft a quarterback pretty high. Indianapolis is in a position right now where they could go draft a quarterback pretty high. You know, I don't know how it's going to work out with those two specifically, but I feel pretty good about Trevor Lawrence. It's a long way of me saying a lot of really good quarterbacks in the AFC, where if you're the Titans, you're going to have to deal with that as you move forward. So the more I think about it, Joe, the more I think this for the Titans. If you're going through the draft process and you fall in love with a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud or a Will Levis or whoever it is, somebody you think is going to go really high in the draft, I think you should move heaven and earth to go get the quarterback this year. Whatever you got to do, you know, you may be sacrificing a lot of the rest of your draft this year. You may be sacrificing some picks next year. I don't know exactly what the cost is going to be. That's going to depend on who you like and where you think they're going to go in the draft. But I think the time is now, if you love one of these quarterbacks, to go get it, just because the rest of the AFC is kind of setting up where not only do a lot of these teams have their quarterback of the now, but they got their quarterback of the future. Like, Joe Burrow is an absolute stud. He's not going anywhere. Patrick Mahomes entering the playoffs this year was the oldest quarterback in the playoffs in the AFC, and he's 27. Like, the new age of quarterbacks is here in the AFC especially. And I think if you're the Titans and you love one of these guys, you need to go get him. And I know that could be really painful for your draft this year, and you're probably not going to fill a lot of other needs if you do that. But to me, Rand Carthon said it best on Friday. It's a quarterback-driven league, and if you have a chance to go get your quarterback of the future this offseason, I think you need to take it if you're the Titans.
You know, I can't disagree. I mean, and the thing is, my take on quarterback is I don't have one because I don't know what their evaluation will be. Like, look, I love Bryce Young. I think it's going to be awfully tough to get him. I think he's going to go number one overall. I hear everything that people are saying about how little he is, and not just short, but also he is slight, and can he handle the pounding this league? I hear that. I do. And if you tell me right now that Bryce Young is going to be healthy, I think we're going to see a very good quarterback at least. It's hard to project like a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Even Trevor Lawrence seemed to be about as sure a thing as there was. And I'm with you. I like him a lot. I don't know that he's going to be great. Like the top tier right now is the two guys who are playing this weekend in the AFC, right?
Yep.
Is he going to be that? I don't know, but he's going to be very good.
He's good.
And I feel like Bryce Young would be too. I have a different feeling on C.J. Stroud, you know, than I did after the Georgia game.
Awfully impressive in that game.
And I'm not, like, I'm with people on being skeptical of Levis, because ultimately, like, you want to see better decision making on the field. But I think the people who I think you also have to look, the traits are there. I mean, he has
He's got a cannon.
Yeah, I mean, and he's very athletic. So, and I think, like, I could see him working out. I would be more cautious of him, certainly, than the other two. But that's the thing. It's like, so let's say you go through the process and Will Levis just dominates the combine and interviews incredible on that stuff. I mean, that'll probably have, like, some team will fall in love with him and take him high.
Yep.
If the Titans were that team, what would the fan base reaction be to that?
I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, I've got a texter right now. It says, you're going to draft a rookie with this offensive line. Whoever you draft will be ruined. I mean, it could be.
Well, you know, but it doesn't mean that you're immediately putting them in next year either.
Right. Well, it doesn't mean that. And even if it does, I mean, I would say, look, the Bengals drafted Joe Burrow. He had a terrible offensive line. Now, he got hurt. He got hurt his first year.
He did. And that's what people were saying. Like, you ruined him.
And then he had a terrible offensive line his second year, and he took him to the Super Bowl. And now they've done some things to their offensive line, and they could win the darn thing this year. I mean, to me,
if you
love the quarterback, go get the quarterback, and you can figure out the other stuff later.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I mean, it will be painful, and it would probably really hurt you. It would probably not mean great things for next year. And this also gets into, again, like the Vrabel perspective on it and the Carthon perspective on it, you know. But ultimately, I think it's clear, they would have to totally agree, yep, this person has to be it.
Yeah.
It's got to be it. And also, okay, this is the best now. This is the best we can do, but that's the standard is, can this be another Burrow? That's the hard part.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find someone that good.
It is.
Go back all through the tops of these drafts over the last few years.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, very low percentage.
It's a very low percentage, and the only way you do this if you're the Titans is that you just love a guy. Like, if you love C.J. Stroud, you love Bryce Young, then go try to get him. If you don't, well, then there's no point in doing it. I mean, you can if you're just moving up for the sake of moving up to get a quarterback, it's not a good way to do it. And the Titans won't do that.
No, they won't do that.
You've got to absolutely love the guy. But I think if you do, why not? Go for it now. Like, if you love the quarterback, go get the quarterback. That's what it's about in this league.
No doubt. And that's why they've got to go through this process. Again, that's why, like, and again, I have no problem with Jared asking the question directly. Someone was going to ask the question, you know, Tannehill, what is he a quarterback? But, like, if you think about it, of course they don't know. How could they know? Because they have to go through this draft process thinking like a team that has the first pick and is going to be drafting a quarterback, while also evaluating the tackles, the receivers, and, you know, the more traditional picks that they'll probably make. But you have to go through this process seeing if you find someone who you actually believe is that guy. Because, again, it's just you're in a better position right now because of the way things turned out to possibly go get that person. I mean, Drew on the text line is talking about, you know, maybe get Hooker in the second round. I don't know. I mean, some team may absolutely think Hendon Hooker is vastly underrated, and, you know, who cares about the ACL? And I could see Hendon Hooker being a starting quarterback in the NFL. Who knows?
Yeah.
But in all likelihood, it's one of the three that we have been talking about. You know, there's also, I mean, Anthony Richardson is fascinating too. I mean,
he's fascinating.
I don't know. I'd like to see him play another year of college football.
If you could promise me that he was Tennessee version of Anthony Richardson that game all the time, then sure,
go
get him.
Yeah, very inconsistent. I mean, he and Levis both are, like, very inconsistent, very talented. Do you think you can harness either of them, make him consistent? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, but it's a question that, first off, it's not new. I mean, we were talking about some of this last year in terms of moving on from Ryan Tannehill. I do think it's different this year, though, with guys in the draft. Like, if you're an AFC team out there and you don't have a Burrow or a Mahomes or an Allen or one of these guys that you want to throw in as the top quarterbacks, don't, like, all of you have to be asking this question to some degree of, well, how do we get one of those guys? Because you're going to have to go through those guys every year in order to ultimately get where you want to get to. And, look, maybe you just can't. I mean, look, forever in the AFC, it was Brady in New England. It was Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. And you couldn't get through them. I mean, very rarely did somebody break through And maybe that's what we're about to see with Mahomes and Burrow.
But the Ravens did with the average quarterback.
Yeah, they did.
Because like Fred from Ashton City points out, build a good enough team, you can take a QB with the last pick and win. And in the NFC, you got that guy, Brock Purdy, who would be the first rookie, by the way, to get to the Super Bowl if they win Sunday. And then you've got, Jalen Hurts is good. He's way better than I thought he'd be. He's very good. I don't know that he's, he's not. He's not like Mahomes, Burrow level.
No.
He's very good. But those are two examples of teams that are doing it a different way. One of them is going to be in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Now, they're also in the other conference.
That's
the problem.
You can't change conferences.
You got to go through these guys. You're gonna have to beat Joe Burrow, and you're going to have to beat Patrick Mahomes in order to get there.
But do you think either of those teams, let's say either of those teams were playing either of the other teams, do you think that the Eagles could beat either of these teams or the Bengals could? Or the Niners could?
I think they absolutely could. Now, then the question is, could you go Allen 1 week, beat him, Burrow the next week, beat him, and Mahomes the next week to beat him just to get to the Super Bowl? Because you may have to do that at some point. It's a heck of a thing to do.
It is.
Throwing Herbert at some point.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot.
Of course, a year ago, you just needed to win two.
That's true.
And it definitely could have beaten
Burrow.
Joe,
you're choosing violence with Titans fans right now.
No, I'm just saying. It's hard not to think of it.
They know.
It's hard not to think of it right now.
615-737-1025. What do you make of the quarterback position, and how much would you consider if you're the Tennessee Titans moving up to go get your quarterback of the future in the draft this year? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds fans, hang out before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Preds back in action tomorrow, taking on the Winnipeg Jets at Bridgestone Arena. Taking your thoughts right now on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So I've said, if the Titans fall in love with a quarterback at the top of the draft this year, they need to move heaven and earth to go get it. I think it's time for the Titans to find their quarterback of the future. And you look around the rest of the AFC, a lot of teams have their quarterback of the present and the future right now. How do you combat that if you're the Tennessee Titans? What do you think? Is it time for the Titans to go find the QB of the future? 615-737-1025. John in Thompson Station on the text line says, a homework assignment for you three. How did the Bengals rebuild their offensive line from last year when they allowed 9 sacks against the Titans? They had 3 starters on the offensive line out yesterday and still looked outstanding by creating holes for the running backs and protecting Burrow. Gives me some hope from the Titans. This from John in Thompson Station on the text line. And we've talked about this before, Joe. I mean, the Titans, we've seen them in one offseason fix an offensive line before. Now, it was different because you had Taylor Lewan, who you had already drafted, turned into a really good player at left tackle. You went and signed Ben Jones that offseason. You drafted Jack Conklin, and those 3 moves alone, I mean, you basically revamped your offensive line, especially, bringing in Jones and Conklin, and then Taylor Lewan taking the next step. That was the difference in the offensive line. You don't have a left tackle that you've drafted that you can have take a next step next year. Unless Dylan Raidens does have the offseason of the year, right?
Well,
he was the offseason award winner last year.
Yeah, he wouldn't even be – he won't be available till
be a long time.
Mid-season at best, right?
Be a long time. So it's a different situation to rebuild the offensive line. It can be done. Do I have confidence that the Titans' offensive line is going to be a top-5 offensive line next year? No. The question is, how much better can you get it by the time you snap the ball for the first game next year than it was when it ended the season last year? Because it was atrocious. How much better can it be in one off season?
Yeah, and I just wouldn't look at that. That was an amazing job by John Robinson in year one. Identified the right tackle, and that was what was interesting too. Going into that draft, everybody thought that they were going to take gas mask weed.
Tunsil.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah,
what a draft that was.
Yeah, it was.
I remember I made some great Cheetos jokes on Twitter. But because the thinking was, well, the Titans, you know, they gotta get a, you know, they get a left tackle, like their left tackle draft from a couple of years ago, he just got his captaincy stripped. He's not good enough.
They're talking about moving him to right tackle. Yeah, all these
maybe he's better at right tackle. So I know Taylor Lewan, I think he said on his podcast, or it may have been in another interview, has told the story of like going into John Robinson's office and basically being like, you know, take a right tackle because you got a left tackle, you know, and clearly must have instilled confidence in Robinson. When they drafted Conklin, again, I covered him in college. Conklin played left tackle in college, and I thought he was good enough to play left tackle in the NFL, but right tackle clearly suits him better, worked out perfectly. And then, like you said, Ben Jones, and then the guard, they still had Spain. I think they had Josh Klein. Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, they weren't great at guard, but they were fine. That's just like you can't, because that happened does not guarantee that you can do that again. And the Bengals, to your point, that's what's interesting about this season too. At times it was like, have the Bengals actually fixed anything? Like they had their ups and downs this year, and then they're hurt yesterday and they still look really good. But the Titans, the only way the Titans fix the offensive line is something like that Lewan story has to be part of it, which is like Petit Frere comes back and he's all of a sudden really good next year. You know, maybe Brewer is the center and he's perfect at center if Ben Jones does retire. Like, you got to have some luck with who you're bringing back. It's why, part of why I think re-signing Nate Davis, I think, is worth really seriously considering. But then still, like, there's got to be two new faces at least that are like instant injections of improvement to the group. And that's just not easy.
There is one thought, though, that I just totally don't buy. And you know, we've had multiple people texted in this morning talking about how nothing matters if they don't fix the offensive line. Like, I don't agree with that. If you look at the draft and you love the quarterback, go get the quarterback. And you can figure out the offensive line as you go along. Is it going to be perfect next year? No. Like, are you running the risk of your quarterback getting hurt? Yeah, you are. But, like, if you're telling me, and I have no idea what type of a pro Bryce Young is going to be, but I'm just throwing out this as a hypothetical. Like, if the Titans go through the interview process, if they look at the tape, all these different things, and they think that Bryce Young is, like, the next Drew Brees, are you telling me they'll be like, well, you know what? We think he's the next Drew Brees, but we don't feel great about our offensive line right now, so we're just going to pass. We're not going to give it a shot. Like, it makes no sense. Go get the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you're punting on next year, too, basically. But, okay. I mean, again, to the point you've been making, which is very important, look at the quarterbacks in the AFC. If you think you could have one of those types of guys and you could actually make it happen, then I think you have to.
Well, and again, and keep in mind, I'm not saying that the Titans absolutely have to go do this year.
No.
You have to love the quarterback. But if you do, why would you not try to go do it? Like, if you love the quarterback, it's a quarterback-driven league. Go get the quarterback. Or at least try to. Like, I'm not saying that, well, the Titans just throw it out there and take a chance. We'll take a chance on Bryce Young.
Oh, not at all. Forget that.
Yeah, it's not a smart way to operate your business. But if you love the guy, you got to go get it, and you can figure out the offensive line as it goes along there. I mean, look, I keep bringing it up, but the Bengals are a perfect example, and their offensive line was horrible. They went and got a quarterback, and it's working out pretty well for them the last couple of years.
I mean, look, if this is what happens and you believe that you have that person, and again, you're going to be in a competition, there's going to be a market, and
yes,
it's going to cost you, okay? So first of all, there's going to be a veteran or two potentially thrown in also to weaken your team. So to the point of people saying, well, now you're going to get the rookie. Okay, well, bring back Joshua Dobbs, and he's your starting quarterback next year. I mean, it's a punt year if you do it. But then you're high in the draft again next year to get a potentially difference-making player. Don't have to worry about quarterback. It could be painful, quite painful in the short term, but it could be the way to go. Now, then this folds into, if you're going to do this, like if I'm Mike Vrabel and we're having this discussion, then, I mean, okay, so Amy's not firing me when we go 5-12 next year, right?
Agreed, yeah.
And, of course, I'm not saying Vrabel is not going to say we're going 5-12 because he's like, well, we're going to still find a way to win. But he has to know the reality that if you went this route, that you're probably looking at a painful year. You're not going to fix your offensive line. You're losing veterans. You still don't have good receivers. I mean, you know, and it is wasting a year of a very potentially good defense. But if you believe the quarterback is that guy, how do you not do it?
Well, the bottom line to me is this discussion that we're having right now, you're either having it right now or you're having it next year. And look, maybe you love the quarterbacks more next year. I don't know. But if you bring Tannehill back, we got this question earlier. Like, to me, you're going to be good enough to where you're not going to have a top pick next year. So you're either trading away things now or you're trading away trying to get your quarterback next year to figure that out. Now, maybe next year's the better route to go. I don't know. I have no idea what Caleb Williams and Drake May and what they're all going to look like, just like I don't know what C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young are going to look like at the NFL level. But at some point
– and Will Levis.
Yeah, Will Levis too.
Can't forget him.
I got a pretty good idea what he's going to look like. But at some point, you're going to have to go get your quarterback. Is the timing now for that? Maybe it's not. Maybe the Titans look around and they say, you know what? I don't like Bryce Young's size. C.J. Stroud, too inconsistent. Will Levis got all the ability in the world, but too inconsistent. There's just too many flaws that we don't feel comfortable doing it. And if that's the way they feel, then don't do it.
Sure.
That's great. But I think the Titans will be and should be very open to that possibility.
I don't think there's any question that the Williams and May are like – well, we'll see. I mean, they're playing next year. You know, things can change. But I think, in general, they're more highly regarded than the top of this draft. Now, this draft is certainly more highly regarded than the last draft.
Correct.
Which was crazy to have a dead year at quarterback like that. But, again, it's all about one person. If it's the one person that you believe, and maybe it is Levis. What if it's Levis? What if they do all this stuff and they come back and it is Will Levis? What will you say?
I mean, I guess they would have to love him. Jeez.
They love us, they're Levis. Who knows? Someone will. Someone's going to take him high.
Well, it's a little easier to be consistent when you have an Alabama or an Ohio State roster around you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in all seriousness.
I mean, if you look at, like, in all seriousness for a second, like, if you look at Kentucky's team last year, you know, having Wandale Robinson and three offensive linemen who ended up now are in the NFL, compared to this year, he had two freshman wide receivers, a running back who missed five games, and an entire new offensive line and offensive coordinator. I mean, you have to put those into why he was so inconsistent, especially since there was a huge drop-off from his first year with Kentucky to this year with Kentucky.
That's all fair. He still made some ridiculous decisions out there with the ball, which you can't do at the NFL level. I mean, look, nobody's perfect. You're not going to find the perfect quarterback draft prospect. Like Bryce Young, he's got his flaws. But
I think he's the guy.
I think he may be.
That's the thing. Like, if we're going to compare those two, I mean,
oh, no, I'm not saying that.
I'm taking Bryce Young.
Saying that Will's the guy. I'm just saying.
No, hey, look. I mean, the people who think that Mel Kiper and all these people are just completely off their rocker, there's some reason that they like him.
615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. We've got a lot of your thoughts to get to. Adam, hang with us on our phone line. We'll get to you as well. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The NFL Conference Championships are this Sunday, and you can enjoy more thrills than a two-minute drill on FanDuel. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, because they're giving all customers a no-sweat same-game parlay. That means you'll get free bets back if your conference championship same-game parlay doesn't hit. Bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to which player will score a touchdown. Or if you can't decide, you can ride with the thousands of other fans and bet popular same-game parlays already made for you. There's something about Joe Burrow and the Bengals that I think is pretty special. I'm going with them to take down Kansas City on the road again. But you can take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB to see for yourself why it's America's number one sportsbook. And if you already have FanDuel, you can start building your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3-plus legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max bonus of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from the 102.5, The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Let's go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Robbie. Hey, I don't know if you're right or if you're wrong. I do know that either way is a good way to go. Like, you could choose to run it back, which I probably wouldn't prefer that as a fan, but anytime you lose expectations, you want change. And I just we don't know what Rand Carthon is, man. We don't know if he's going to be a checkbook guy who breaks it out in free agency, and we don't know if he's going to be splashy in the draft. Like, we don't know what means anything to him. And if you look at the Niners, that he kind of did a little bit of both, you know. If he really did work with Lynch on all those moves, then they did it both ways. So I don't know. It could be your quarterback. It could be A-Rod, man. We might end up with Alokisha or whatever the hell that guy does, man. Like, we may end up with that guy for a quarterback, you know, like shuck a million assets to Green Bay and end up with a quarterback like that for two or three years while we still got Byard and got Derrick Henry and a couple of old guys. I don't know. I don't know what it looks like, but I think we'll learn a lot more about Rand when we start free agency, man.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I believe ayahuasca is the term.
It's same number of syllables. A lot of vowels.
Oh, I mean, look, Rand Carthon's approach to this is going to be really interesting, and maybe it's as simple as you run it back with Ryan Tannehill, and then you figure out the quarterback position after that. You know, one thing – you know, we've talked specifically about the draft. Like, if you love one of the quarterbacks in the draft, we had somebody bring this up on the text line. You know, what if he loves Trey Lance? Like, Brock Purdy's in the NFC title game. And what if he loves Trey Lance? Do you go get it, go try to make a move to get him? Would that be cheaper in the long run of paying that price to get him than it would be to move up and go get a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud? I don't know. But there could be a couple of different options that you try this year if you're the Titans.
Real quick mini rant on that.
Okay.
This is directed at – well, I went back and forth a little bit with Michael Gallagher about this over the weekend. I see some – and I've done it before too, like Julio Jones. I remember on this show, oh, come on, it's not yeah. – can we stop? Well, it ended up happening. I don't understand people who think the Trey Lance thing is just, oh, no, stop this fantasy. I'm not saying it'll happen. Like, if I was the Niners, like, of course, I think it's much more likely it doesn't happen. And if I were the Niners, as we've discussed, I think I like the idea of a competition and depth with two quarterbacks who don't cost me much. So I think that's how it'll go. But if you're the Niners and you absolutely believe Brock Purdy is your future at quarterback, is that possible? I mean, if he wins this weekend – I know there was a report. Honestly, I don't know where the report was from. There was some report this weekend.
San Francisco Chronicle.
It was the Chronicle. So, yeah. Okay. I put some stock in that they're resolved that Purdy's going to be their starter next year. Was that the gist of the correct way? I haven't read it.
The quote was, we already know he's our guy or something along those lines.
So if you believe that, yes, I'd rather have depth. Yes, I like competition. But you know what? You spent so much on Trey Lance. Can you get a first and a third and a veteran back for him and recoup some of it? You're certainly not recouping three first-round picks. There's no way. But can you recoup some of it and get another backup at a place where it seems like they just throw in anybody and that quarterback turns out to be pretty good, which I think probably has something to do with the coach?
Yep.
Yeah, don't dismiss it out of hand. It is possible.
It's definitely possible. And quarterback movement has become a thing in the NFL. I mean, we saw it. A lot of it last year. Now, last year may have been an extreme example of the quarterback movement we're going to see, but I think it absolutely could be on the table, and maybe that's the route you go if you're the Titans. I'm just saying, whether it's Lance, whether it's Young, Stroud, whoever, if you love the quarterback and you think that you can find your quarterback of the future, go make the move. That's what it's time to do, in my opinion, if you're the Tennessee Titans. Go get your quarterback.
No, I don't know how – like, the argument – the only argument against what you're saying – because, again, what it is what's the evaluation? I have no idea. But if that is the evaluation, it's an easy answer. But the argument against being open-minded enough to make that evaluation is what? No way. Tannehill's the guy. He's taking us to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, who believes that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he will. Maybe he could. Maybe he can.
I guess you could say, especially if it's a guy you draft this year, how many rookie quarterbacks are ready to go and to play at a high level from the jump? It doesn't happen very often. So I guess the one counter argument you could say was, well, got a pretty good defense that you feel good about. You still have Derrick Henry. You can fix the offensive line. Maybe go add one more receiver. What is that team? I think that team with Tannehill could be playoff team. I think that team could compete for the division. Like, look, I think Jacksonville is going to be good. I think Jacksonville is going to be the favorite next year in the division. I think they should be. Is it totally out of the realm of possibility if the Titans decide to bring Tannehill back and add to the group and improve the offensive line and get another receiver in there? Is it totally out of the realm of possibility that they could win the AFC South next year? I don't think so. I think they could win the AFC South.
You bring Landry back. You got Simmons. And you got Autry playing at a high level again as he ages. And there's a lot of ifs, but there are some potential answers on defense that if a bunch of them were answered in the affirmative, along with the biggest question, which is, are you going to have a third straight year of ridiculous injuries? Well, that could be a good team. They were the one seed last year. That's the thing. They were the one seed last year.
So that's the pushback. Does Ryan Tannehill give you a better chance to win next year than a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud would? Forgetting what the impact could be for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years after that. Next year, would you be maybe blowing your chance to get back in the playoffs and compete? That's a pushback that I'm willing to listen to. I still think the longer-term view of the franchise, if you have a quarterback you love, you have to go get him. I just feel like that's the way you have to operate. But I can listen to the, well, if this X, Y, and Z goes right for the Titans this offseason, they can still be a good team and they can compete for the division. But the question that I always have, and we talked about this when we were discussing whether or not to bring back Tannehill and Henry. To me, if you're bringing those two guys back, it's because you think that you can win a Super Bowl. That's what you need to be thinking if you're the Titans. Can you win the Super Bowl? Because if the answer to that is no or yes, if 55 consecutive things go right for us, we feel like we have a chance to get to the Super Bowl, then that's a different conversation than believing that you actually are a Super Bowl caliber team in this conference.
Yeah, well, and if you're Rand Carthon, as you look at this team, what do you think about everything you've been able to gather about the existing talent, and then can you in one offseason, how much can you do in that one offseason? You know, how close do you think you could get it? So the thing is, like, and this is the reason that I think that they will end up running it back is because I don't think they're going to get Bryce Young because I think he's going to go number one overall, and I don't think they can. I don't think they can pull it off. Now, if I go through Dane Brugler's most recent mock draft, which came out last week, he has the Colts trading to go get Bryce Young. Now, of course, the Colts have what? Four? Are they at four?
Yes, they're at four.
Yeah. Yep. No, there you go. And it's just hard to get in. But he also has Stroud fifth, okay, with the Panthers trading for that. Now, that spot, if it's him, again, this is all hypothetical. Maybe the Texans are going to go with Stroud or Levis. But like the third one of those guys I think is probably achievable. So it also has to work out. Like, do you love the third one of those guys? Right. You're not going to touch the other two, you know? I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. I think ultimately the conclusion is going to be made that they need to try to just be as good as they can be next year and hope that's good enough.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Colton. Colton, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I'd like to get y'all's thoughts on if the GM decided to wait and get Hendon Hooker in the second round if he was available and just stay put with Ryan Tannehill for the year. Let him recover from his ACL and then see if he's worthy of a starting job. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call. I mean,
you better know. He's your guy.
You got to know. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you got to. Now, first off, I have no idea how quickly or not quickly Hendon Hooker's ACL recovery is going to go. My guess would be if Hendon Hooker is the guy you're drafting, that Ryan Tannehill is your starting quarterback next year.
Or someone else,
it's a redshirt year for Hooker.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now, look, I like Hendon Hooker a lot. I think Hendon Hooker has a chance to be a starting quarterback in this league. I've made the Cousins comparison is not a perfect comparison, but reminds me of that a little bit. I think he's got a chance. But, I mean, the Titans last year used a pick that could have brought in a good football player to help you right away on Malik Willis.
Yep.
So there's no, like, well, let's take him and see if he's good. After the, like, it's got to be, oh, yeah, he's the same thing. He's the quarterback. He is who we want. He is the guy. He's perfect.
Right. I agree.
It's got to be that.
Like, you're not, to me, especially after what you did last year, but beyond what you did last year with Malik Willis, it's more just about the holes you have in your roster now. Like, if you're just taking a flyer on Hendon Hooker.
Can't take flyers.
You can't do that. Not that early.
No.
Now, if Hendon Hooker slides down way farther than I think he will, and you end up in, like, the fifth or sixth round, then maybe it's a different conversation. But I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Which, by the way, Cousins was supposed to be a second-round pick, and he went in the fourth.
Yeah.
After the Washington team picked RG3 in the first round.
Yeah.
It was like, really? Worked out all right?
It did. Worked out okay.
Well, you know. I mean, not great, not amazing, but he's a good quarterback.
Yep. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Would like a world to change. It helps me to appreciate those nights and those days.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. Joe Rex Road. I turn things over to you.
Glad you could figure out, you know, get the music fixed so we could get some Creed going today.
Only for you, Rex.
I want more Rick Astley, please.
Who doesn't?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to rant a little bit about a topic that became just a raging, just scream fest over the weekend. You know, I like Mike Florio. I think Mike Florio does some good work for Pro Football Talk. He has some good reports. He has some stuff, too, at times that's a little... out there,
yeah,
maybe a little untrue. He's really, like, he created an absolute bleep storm here, and he on his Twitter account, which is Pro Football Talk, but it has a poll up there about this. And it just, first of all, I will join the screaming, ranting, raving people who are angry about this if it actually becomes a real thing. I don't think it will. But Florio put out a report that, you know, with the Bills and Chiefs, 50,000 tickets sold in 24 hours, and they put that out there. And, of course, we talked earlier about the show, Joe Burrow, get those refunds.
Yeah.
They were obviously with the DeMar Hamlin situation, for people who don't know, they came up with this compromise or this plan that it would have been, you know, Bills, Chiefs would have had to be in a neutral site. It would have been in Atlanta. They sold a bunch of tickets. So Florio puts this – has this tweet, this report, which is basically that the NFL is considering making this a thing. Which, again, if that's true, hell no. That's idiotic. I mean, the reason that you fight during the season for a number one seed is so that you can host the game.
You're talking about conference championship games and neutral sites on, like, a permanent basis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you read his report, it's that the fact that they... the fact that they put this out there that they sold so well becomes circumstantial evidence that the league is thinking about making all conference championship games neutral site contests, end quote. And then he says, privately, we've tracked down some direct evidence of the NFL's intentions, but I went through the report. There's no source saying this in his report. And I haven't seen it anywhere else either. Now, look, is it absolutely out of the realm of possibility that they could consider this? No. And, again, I would go nuts about it, as I think most people would, because it's a terrible idea.
Agreed.
A terrible, terrible idea. But, I mean, his basis is that they put out a thing about how many tickets they've sold, and this is somehow like floating it to get. I think he's taking a leap on top of a leap on top of a leap here. So I'm hoping I'm right, and that Florio is just way premature and not basing this on anything. And in which case, the rant is about you, Florio. If he ends up being right, then we'll switch the rant to the NFL because that is so dumb.
Well, okay. So to your point, they had sold to that point 50,000 tickets in Atlanta for the Bills-Chiefs game, which obviously had not been determined if it was going to happen yet, and now we know it's not going to happen in Atlanta. So they sold a lot of tickets. Okay. Like it's a conference championship game. You think you wouldn't sell a lot of tickets in Kansas City? Like they're going to have this weekend? Like that part of it makes no sense to me. Like, yeah, it's a conference championship game. They'll sell a lot of tickets at whatever home market it's at. Like, I think the NFL would be nuts to even consider this. Like, it makes no sense to me.
I agree. And I don't think they will. I still don't totally understand here's what he writes, quote, the NFL envies the atmosphere of major college bowl games where 50-50 mix of fans decked out in the team's colors. It's one thing about college football, pro football does not fully replicate, end quote. Hey, Mike, there's this thing called the Super Bowl.
There is.
And then now that's his next graph. He says it lacks the same vibe as a major college bowl game. Okay. The crowd is often too neutral, and certainly Super Bowl crowds are low, like the corporate sponsors take up like half the stadium. Fine. I get that, but I mean, one of the great things about the NFL, and there are many great things, is having these playoff games. This is what we talk about with college football. We're always talking about college football. Amazing. Think about, like, campus sites for playoff games. That's going to be incredible because it's so awesome in the NFL. Except when you have someone like Gary Barr, like, well, I don't know about playing, you know, football in January in the cold. That's never happened before. I don't think that could ever happen, could it? No, Gary, good point. That never happens. I mean,
below 45 degrees is a waste of time out there.
Yeah, we can't do that. Now, Florio's trying to flip it around and say that the NFL people want an antiseptic bowl game in a dome for the AFC or NFC championship game. Nobody wants that. I can't believe you. I don't believe you.
No, I'm trying to think of what the benefit is. Like, I mean, you're going to get the same TV audience. You're going to sell the same amount of tickets. I mean, I guess for whatever neutral site city would be, hey, thanks for coming to our city.
Yeah, like cities will bid on having it. Yeah, but dude, no. Again, that's just the reason. I mean, like last year the Titans get the one seed and it's like, oh my gosh, so they get the Chiefs in this place if they
two home games, baby.
Right. I mean, come on. It's already bad enough we've gone to the 17th game and it's gonna be an 18th game, and they'll probably go to 8 teams in the playoffs and all this crap. And you know, in which case, by the way, now you don't really have nearly as much of an edge for being the one or the two, but at least you would get the home game if you win. And that's a huge deal and should continue to be a huge deal. So, I'm hoping that I'm right, that Florio has needlessly made everybody panic about this.
Well, I would hope so too. And this is a perfect example of like, hey, let's not try to fix what ain't broken here. I mean, the NFL playoffs are pretty great. And look, they've already tinkered with it. They added another team that made the playoffs, which at the time I didn't like. Okay with it now. You get one bye, but okay,
it's fine. Yeah. I don't think they needed to do it, and I don't want to. I mean, at some point, it's like the thing about the NFL playoffs is it has been a big deal to make it.
It's exclusive, yeah.
And it's getting less so, but yeah, this thing, I don't think they're going to do it. Right? Tell me I'm right.
I can't, like. Look, the NFL has made some dumb decisions before. I can't imagine this being one of them. I mean,
no one will like this.
You want to play the divisional round at home? Great. But we'll see you in the AFC title game in a neutral site. I know that the Chiefs are the one seed, and let's say next year it's like the, I don't know, the Jags. They're like the wild card. I know they're the wild card team, but let's just put them in a neutral site. Why not?
Well, what if it's like, okay, yeah, let's take the Jags example. It's like Tampa won the bid. Tampa bid out and won the game. So now it's like the one seed is the Eagles.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever. So now all those Jags fans from Duval just have to drive
just
down to Tampa.
Yeah. I don't know.
It just, come on.
It just makes no sense. I don't think that this is going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen. And we got people on the text line saying they ought to play the Super Bowl at whatever the home team is too. Like, I don't know if I agree with that. Like, I'm fine with the Super Bowl being a neutral site game.
Yeah.
Because it's two different conferences, but.
They don't need to mess with any of it.
Just leave it alone.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with. There's a reason that it is the most popular sport in our country. Just leave it alone.
And the Super Bowl is such a huge deal. I mean, the Super Bowl is like people travel all over the world to go to it. So that is a very worthwhile thing for your city to bid on and to get. It's a big, big deal. Well, the conference championship game is not. It's no.
And you got to plan the Super Bowl too, right? Like if it was the home team, you'd be like, oh, 2 weeks before we figure out this, we're hosting the Super Bowl. Cool.
Right. So. Yeah. Exactly.
By the way, Rihanna,
we could handle it here.
Come start rehearsing here. Be good stuff. 615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up next. Get his thoughts on the Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel press conference, and divisional weekend in the NFL as well. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. We will be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.